Please be seated. Now you can take away my man card if you feel the need, but I will confess that I am a sucker for Christmas music. I love it. I don't think there's any form of music that can both inspire and elicit emotion in us like Christmas music can. I mean, who can hear about chestnuts roasting on an open fire without feeling this warm and fuzzy picture of a roaring fire in a festively decorated home? Even, of course, if we wouldn't recognize a chestnut if it stared us in the face. Who can hear that wonderful classic White Christmas without thoughts of snow and sleighs, even if we never grew up with snow or never have ridden in a sleigh? And of course, we in liturgical churches take a somewhat schizophrenic approach to this whole thing, because during this time of year, we sing Advent hymns. During this time of emotional ups and downs, the roller coaster ride of anticipation and preparation, all while it seems like everyone around us can't wait to deck the halls. And there's a tension in all that. There's a tension in all that that I kind of like. And there's a tension that makes us want to get on with things, that makes us yearn for Christmas to arrive. Now, last week, I heard one of my favorite Christmas songs for the first time this year. And it's not one you're going to find in the hymnal. And it's not one you're going to hear from a bundled chorus of carolers. Instead, it's a song I remember first as a child from the Muppets Family Christmas. Yes, the Muppets were around then. But originally the song didn't come from that. Originally the song was written for the Broadway musical Mame. Now you may remember the story about Mame. Mame is everyone's crazy aunt. She's a high society woman of the late 1920s in New York who enjoys life in the fast lane with her equally crazy group of friends. But she loses everything in the stock market crash. And Mame, though, is able to hold things together enough to keep her nephew Patrick with her and her enormous Manhattan brownstone. And her maid and butler continue out of loyalty, and mainly because they don't have any other place to live. And Mame is forced out into the job market for the first time in her life. And Mame discovers she's really not good at anything. The bills mount. The prospects look dim. And when she's fired from a job for the third time just before Thanksgiving, she defiantly comes back home and sings this song with her family. It's called "We Need a Little Christmas." Haul out the holly. Put up the tree before my spirits fall again. Fill up the stockings. We may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now, because we need a little Christmas. Right this very minute, candles in the windows, carols in the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas. Right this very minute, it hasn't snowed a flurry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry. So climb down the chimney. Aren't you glad I didn't sing it? Turn on the brightest string of lights I've ever seen. Slice up the fruitcake. It's time we've hung some tinsel on that evergreen tree. For I've grown a little leaner, grown a little older, grown a little sadder, grown a little colder. And I need a little angel sitting on my shoulder. We need a little Christmas now. Believe it or not, that song brought me to today's gospel lesson. And that song in so many ways summarizes where I think we are on this last Sunday of Advent, this last Sunday before Christmas. You see, I think Mame is looking beyond what is and imagining what might be. Even if the odds are stacked against her and everyone around her thinks she's crazy. And I guess in a way that's what Advent and Christmas, for that matter, call us to do. We live in a world that's broken. Maybe no more broken than in times past, but it seems that way. Poverty, hunger, greed, dishonesty, terrorism, war, and just plain hate and meanness surround us. But as Mary proclaims in today's gospel, Dark times can also be times of great hope, if we'll just let them. Maybe we've glamorized Mary and Joseph and the whole story beyond recognition, but the truth is, this wasn't a good time in their lives. Mary was a young teenager engaged to a man she might not have known all that well, and she's pregnant. No doubt the subject of rumor and innuendo, and is about to embark on this impossible journey just to register her existence in her fiancé's hometown. Things could probably not have been any worse for her. So what does she do? Well, according to Luke the musical, she burst out into song, the very first Christmas song, the song of Mary, the Magnificat, as it's known. "My soul magnifies the Lord," she says, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. And maybe those words have become so familiar to us that they've lost some of their meaning. But think about those words. At perhaps the lowest point of her life, the lowest and most hopeless point of her life, Mary rejoices because she believes that God has found favor upon her. Even if she does think that maybe God is asking the impossible, Mary says yes to the unbelievable. Kind of makes worrying about Christmas shopping seem a little shallow, doesn't it? You see, Mary rejoices because hers is a song of hope. Maybe even a song of defiance. Maybe even a reflection of the words that I use in the blessing on Wednesday nights from the old Franciscan blessing where I say, "May God grant you the foolishness to believe you really can make a difference in this world." And I think also that deep down inside of each of us, there is a profound appreciation for what Mary has to say, because we know that Mary is a nobody, that Joseph is not particularly important, and shepherds are the kind of folk usually ignored by the truly powerful people of earth. We know this, and yet we celebrate it. We celebrate how ordinary they are. We celebrate how God gives himself to just these kind of people, the kind of people who are a lot like you and me. And that's why we need a little Christmas. Not a sentimental or nostalgic remembrance of what was, but a real and profound hope of what can be. And that child we anticipate on Thursday night, we realize is actually alive within this broken world today. And that neither war, nor poverty, nor hunger, nor dishonesty, nor terrorism, nor hate can overcome or undo, no matter what. We do need a little Christmas. Actually, we need a lot of Christmas, where what is wrong with this world takes a back seat to hope, so that we might remember that despite our brokenness, ours is a world created by God, a world which God called good. And that despite how hopeless things can sometimes seem, ours is a world so loved by God that he sent his only son. We do need a little Christmas, yet beyond just a babe in a manger, and instead a Christmas that makes room for a Savior who comes to us in fullness and love every day, in a Christ whose birth in our lives, in our feelings, and in our thoughts is not merely a date on a calendar, but a lifelong task and a lifelong revelation. Maine is right. We need a little Christmas. Right this very minute and every minute. It is the source of our hope, and it is what gives meaning to our very being. O come, Emmanuel. We truly do need a little Christmas now. God love you. Amen.